We are in the middle of walking through the concept of prayer and what prayer is and how prayer works and how prayer doesn't work and what we can expect and can't expect and shouldn't expect, etc., etc., etc. And as we're working through this process of prayer and we're kind of delving into some of the things that God shares with us in His Word, we've kind of found ourselves as a starting point with this concept of the Lord's Prayer, where the disciples tell Jesus, hey, would you teach us to pray? And Jesus says, okay, well, if I'm going to teach you to pray, here's how you should pray. And then He jumps right into it and He goes from there. And so as we've been digging into this particular part of Scripture and this particular prayer that God teaches us, it has been really, really interesting to me as God has worked us through this and worked me through this on where He's driving us in this process of understanding what prayer is really meant for and meant to be for. And as I've journeyed, I've been thinking about the passage and the part we're going to jump into today, and it's kind of an odd part. In fact, so much so that theologians have taken this particular part of the Lord's Prayer, and it kind of takes you down some interesting roads, which we'll touch base on a little later. But it got me thinking a little bit about me as a Christ follower and the things in my life that are most valuable and most important to me, the things that would most bring me joy and most devastate me if I play them out. And I started thinking about Scripture, and I started thinking about moments in Scripture where men and women have faced things as Christ followers that have either brought them great joy or have devastated them. And you know, as I was thinking about it, a lot of different things came to mind. I mean, think about it for a second. If you sit here right now and you say, as a follower of Christ, what are one or two things that would just absolutely just devastate you? And it's kind of easy. You start thinking about the normal things that jump into mind. You start thinking about, you know, losing somebody or losing something that's huge, or difficulties in life, or financial ruin, or all of these things. But then you start realizing, as you think about those things, at face value, yes, we do face that. But as a Christ follower, if that's really my drive, if that's really what pushes me and what drives me, then my greatest moment of devastation is the moment in which I turn from my Savior and I do something that breaks His heart. Can you guys think of a story in Scripture where somebody broke His heart and figured it out at just the last moment when it was just too late? And they just went, oh. You know what? The first story that comes to mind is the story of Peter. I mean, I feel sorry for Peter sometimes, you know, because he always gets it's like doubting Thomas. I mean, doubting Thomas. I mean, Thomas doubted one stinking time in Scripture, and we're like, doubting Thomas. That's what he'll be forever, you know? And I'm like, poor guy, man. He was probably like one of the most faithful people on the entire planet. We're like, doubting Thomas! And you know, Peter's the same way. You think about Peter, and you're like, oh, the denial guy. Yeah. Yeah, he happened to also walk on water, and he happened to be the one that jumped out of boats and ships to go, Jesus, I love you! I mean, he was the guy that was like, I'll crucify with you next year. I'll do whatever. But, you know, the part that we remember sometimes about Peter is this devastating moment in his life. Do you remember it? Where Jesus is taken into his darkest time to the cross. And Peter is sitting with Jesus just that very dinner before. And Jesus is saying, where I walk, you cannot walk. And Peter's the first one to jump up and say, wherever you go, I'll go. And Jesus turns to him and says, before you hear the rooster crow three times, you will deny me. And I can imagine Peter thinking, look, I know you're God and all, but you're wrong. I'm just telling you right now, you're wrong. Can you imagine the moment when that rooster crowed and Peter sat there in the silence and he knew that he had walked right on into temptation and it had wiped him out and he had nothing except that horrible gut feeling that you have just completely walked away from the Savior that spilled His blood for you. Have you guys ever sat on the edge of temptation? Have you? Have you ever felt it? I mean, I'm just wondering, because I have. In fact, it's really odd that this is the particular passage I'm dealing with right now, because there's certain circumstances in my life right now that are going on as we speak, this last week and this coming week, where I can feel it like a you know, have you ever seen those movies where, you know, the hot breath of the beast is on your neck and you're just like, oh, And you're like, oh my gosh, I think I'm about to die. And then the next moment, the beast just takes your head off. And that's kind of how I feel sometimes about temptation. You know, I sit there and I can feel it on my neck. I can feel that sense of temptation just waiting to draw me in and to swallow me whole and to cause me to fall into it. And once I'm into that temptation, in that moment, the moment occurs in my life as a Christ follower that most brings me sadness and devastation, is the moment where I give myself away to sin once again. And I realize I don't have to, because Romans tells me I am no longer a slave to sin, but I am now a slave to the Spirit of God. And so even in that moment, I know it is me who walked into temptation and literally gave myself to it, and it swallows me up. And I just go, ah, oh, and there's times in my life where I can feel it like a thick air around me. And I just know in those times of my life that everything around me is whispering to me, oh, do it this way, do it that way, think these thoughts, act this way, say these words. You know, I'm living in one of those circumstances right now where I just have to tread real carefully, because everything in me wants to drive me down a road that I do not want to go. Sometimes it's some blatant sin, you know? I mean, many of you sitting here like me, there's particular things you struggle with. There's particular things you just know. You know, certain things you don't worry about at all, and other things you just worry about because there are those particular temptations, those particular sins that can come along and can grab a hold of your heart and can suck you in no time. And I have those things too. And those are the things you really got to watch out for, you know? You got to keep your vigilance about you and going, I got to watch for those things because they'll grab a hold of my heart in no time. And we all have those things, but there are times in life when there's just circumstances around you, and those circumstances are set there, and you just know that you could roll into temptation. As I sit in this moment, it starts dawning on me as I think about temptation, and I think about where it'll take me, and I think about sin that comes with temptation, and I think about where I end up sitting in that silent place like Peter did, hearing that rooster crow and sitting there going, wow. Wow, how did I get here? And I think about that place, and that begins to drive me back to what is most important to me as a Christ follower. See, the thing that's most important to me as a Christ follower is that at the end of each day, we sing about this in the worship songs, at the end of each day, as I sign my name to the end of the day, I can hold that piece of paper up and say, God, I just hope as your servant, as your follower, as your child, that this day would be a day that you are just so pleased with. Not because I feel guilty, not because I'm driven by some horrible feeling that God's going to be ticked at me if I'm not, but just because I love him. And I just want him to know that my life is for him today. And temptation is that one thing that comes along that constantly wants to draw me away from that dear and wonderful moment at the end of a day where I can sit back and I can say, this day, God, I lived in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The words I used, the actions I lived out, they were in the Spirit and by your strength, and they were for you. And your name has been made great because of my life today as I have followed you. That is the moment that a Christ follower longs for and strives for and looks for in life, isn't it? I mean, isn't it? I mean, you can tell me I'm coming out of left field here and I'm a total idiot. I'm okay with that. But I mean, if you're sitting here and you're a Christ follower and you go, yes, that's it. That's what I long for. Then you begin to step into the Lord's Prayer and things begin to make sense in a whole new way. At least to me, they do. Because where have we gone with the Lord's Prayer? Where does the Lord's Prayer start? Disciples say to Jesus, teach us how to pray. And what does Jesus start with? It's not a trick question. Our Father, who art in heaven. What's the very next line? Hallowed be thy name. I mean, right there he starts. And you know, we've taken that as adoration. And I'm sure it is. And it's awesome. But you think about that and you start thinking, remember what we talked about a couple weeks ago? That the hallowing of God's name is the sanctifying of God's name, and sanctifying God's name is making it holy. And God's name doesn't need us to make it holy, but we've been given the privilege to play a role in that. Isn't that incredible? That God would come to human beings like you and me and say, now that you're one of my followers, I have empowered you to make my name great. So we start off in prayer by saying, God, let me just start off, hallowed be your name. My life is to make your name great. And then we jump from hallowed be your name, what do you jump into? What do we jump into? Your will be done. Your kingdom come, or vice versa, either way. The bottom line is, what is this about? It is a reminder to you and me that everything you live and breathe, every moment you live and breathe, is for the glorification of the name of Jesus Christ. That's it. I mean, there is nothing else. Your wife or your husband has been given to you so that you can live in a manner worthy of the gospel in your marriage and glorify the name of Christ. Your children have been given to you so that you can be great stewards of them to glorify the name of Christ. Your circumstances have been given to you so that you can live in a manner worthy of the gospel. Trials have been given to you to test your faith so that you can what? So you can glorify God. And so we are reminded as we come to God in prayer, according to Christ, that the first thing we need to remember is that you live and breathe for one singular purpose, to bring honor to the name of God, to do His will, and for His kingdom to come. Boy, that starts us in a whole different place, doesn't it? So we learned about that a few weeks ago. Then what do we jump into? After that, we jump into this day, what? Give me my daily bread, right? And you remember what we talked about there, that we think of that as supplication a lot of times. God, I need this, and I need that, and I need the next thing. Please give it to me. Now that I've adored you, you should be feeling warm and fuzzy. Can I please have some stuff? And then we realize, wait a second. We dig into daily bread a little bit, and we dig into those stories of Jesus. You remember the stories of Jesus where he stepped in and said, yeah, I may be able to make loaves and bread and feed you all day long, but this bread is nothing. The bread that God wants you to eat is what? Is me. I am the bread of life. Can you imagine if you come before God and say, my life is to glorify your name, do your will, and have your kingdom come, and I ask now that you would give me all that I need of you. You are my daily bread, because I'm about to face some serious circumstances today, God, that are going to just be laying around waiting for me to fail. But I will not fail because you are my daily bread. I can do what? All things through whom? Christ who strengthens me, that's right. So if Christ is my fullness today, if he is my daily bread, if he is my supply, if he is in me, complete, then I will walk through this day in a manner worthy of the gospel. And I will come to the end of the day as a believer in Christ going, this is your day, God. And then I get to that part where God is so beautiful, where he comes to us and he says, I know sometimes you fail, and when you do, here's all I require of you. You come and you tell me you're sorry. And we say, God, forgive us for the debts that we have accrued this day. If there's any way that we have not lived by your spirit and lived in your supply and lived by your strength, then forgive us for that. Because we know that's not what you desire and it's not what we desire. It is this silly flesh and the silly circumstances and this temptation that lingers, drawing us in. But we want to live outside of that. And then that beautiful moment where God says, don't you stop there now. When you realize the depths of your sin, like we talked about last week, then it is so easy for you to go, and oh Lord, may I also forgive all those who have debts against me. Because my debt against you makes their debts against me look like pocket change. I don't care how deeply you have been hurt. I know it runs deep. The debts against you can never compare to the debts that we have against our Father in heaven. And yet, he has forgiven us. Unbelievable. And then we step into today's passage. Matthew chapter 6. You can go there if you'd like. Matthew chapter 6 is that beautiful passage where the Lord's Prayer is, and this is what he says. Verse 12, it says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Wow. I mean, I read that right there, and it is like water to my soul in this particular circumstances that I live in today. Because suddenly I look at that verse and I go, in the context of this prayer that you've given me where you refocus my entire vision onto what your vision is, and you remind me that my life is for you and the glorification of your name, and you are my supply, my bread of life, and you are the one to whom I run to say I'm sorry. And then when I realize what you've forgiven me of, it is so easy for me to forgive others who have dead against me. And when I stand on the edge of all of that, the last thing that Jesus says here is before you walk out of prayer into your day, you go before him, and this is what you ask for. God, would you not lead me into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26, just a little further on. In Matthew chapter 26, we're going to go to verse 41. We're in the Garden of Gethsemane now. If you guys know the context here, Jesus is facing the most dark night of all of eternity. He's facing the night before he is supposed to give himself away for us. And he asks his disciples to pray with him. And then he says this. He says in verse 41, "Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping." Can you imagine? That's great. That's exactly what we all do most of the time. "Could you men not keep watch for me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not" what? "Fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." See the language there? The language there is this idea of falling into temptation. When we fall into temptation, it is not being tempted. It is actually the act of allowing that temptation to bring you in and swallow you up. Are you with me? This is not just a matter of going, whoa, there's temptation to the left and there's temptation to the right and there's temptation in front and behind. This is the moment in time where you fall into it. And it is the moment in time where Peter found himself right after he denied Christ, where he suddenly realized, I was not tempted to deny Christ. I fell into that temptation. Today I stand here and I am not simply tempted to say and do certain things in certain circumstances, but there is a moment in time where I will choose to fall into that temptation. And it is in that moment that I will lose what I love most, which is to honor and bring greatness to my Father in heaven and to his name. And here, the supplication, the thing we want most as Christ followers, as disciples, is to say, God, this day, would you please not allow me to walk into temptation? Would you not allow me to find myself falling into the circumstances that are calling me out to do things that would not honor you? And would you deliver me from that evil, horrible monster that waits to devour me? Do you guys remember these verses? That the evil one crouches where? He crouches at our doorstep waiting to devour us like a lion. Sin is waiting to eat you alive. Every one of you sitting here are going to walk out of these doors tonight, and you will face circumstances that will whisper to you, and in those whisperings you will be tempted, and when you are tempted, you will either fall into temptation or you will stand against temptation. Those are the only two options when it comes to temptation. You will either fall into it or you will walk away from it. And temptation doesn't come at you in these big, huge ways. I mean, I don't know about you, but it's been a long, long time since I walked out of the door and I felt this whisper, sacrifice your child to me. I mean, that doesn't happen because I would go, are you insane? I need some medication if these voices are going to stay in my head. This is unbelievable. See, when we do that, when temptation comes our way that way, we're usually like right on our toes. Whoa, that's not biblical. I'm not doing that. But it's never those temptations, is it? It's always little whispers. Hey, listen in on that conversation. There's some juicy stuff going on there. And you just move in a little closer. Or hey, shouldn't you be angry at that person? I mean, did you see what they just did to you? Oh, you're going to let them get away with that? Or what about you find yourself in a conversation and some things are being talked about and you should just whisper in your opinion about that person's life. Oh yeah, that's good. See, these are the subtle ones. The way you feel about someone, the way you talk about someone, the way you act towards someone, the secrets that you keep. Oh, don't tell anyone that. Don't bring that into the light. Because if you do that, you know, it's just not going to be good for anyone. And then those temptations come to justify everything we do, don't they? Oh, you're just doing that because, you know, it's speaking the truth in love. That's the most baloney statement I've ever heard in my entire life. I have yet to meet someone that speaks the truth in love when they're actually using that statement. I just speak in the truth in love. And it was really necessary for you just to point that out to me, wasn't it? I can tell. It's all these little things. And you know, they sit around you all over the place, don't they? I mean, they do. They're all around you. When last have you been in a conversation with someone, just a normal conversation, and then just that little inkling of a voice, you say that one thing that you just shouldn't say about the other person. You just push it just a little too far, and now it's in the realm of shouldn't be done, not glorifying to God's name, not building up the other person, not building up the church. You know, we're called to always, under all circumstances, build one another up. Just ask yourself this one question. And let me tell you, it's because I'm asking myself this question. Don't you get me wrong. It's because of what's in my heart right now. Ask yourself today, have you built everyone up that you talked about? Have you had a single conversation where you didn't build somebody up and you go, I built everyone up that deserved to be built up? Good. That's good. What about those people that didn't? Oh, well, they don't deserve to be built up, and I crashed them down to the ground. I hear you. That's good. You should read the Bible. It talks about that whole deserving thing. Here's the thing. You see what I'm getting at? Listen, folks, you and I, we live in a world that's waiting to sink its teeth into you. It's waiting to suck you into temptation so that you can do exactly what the Lord doesn't want you to do, so that you can live ineffectively, so that you don't bring sanctification to his name, so that you don't live by the supply of the bread of life in you, and so that you have to constantly go, I'm really sorry for the debts I've accrued against you again. And God gives us this beautiful gift in prayer where he says, you can ask me not to lead you into temptation, but to deliver you from the evil one. And if you do that, and your heart is, God, I want to live for your kingdom, so please don't lead me into temptation. Do not allow me to find myself in that horrible place. Deliver me from the evil one. Imagine what your life would begin to look like if every time you and I walked into prayer, this is how we walked into prayer. That we walked in with our focus all over the place and we came out with our focus directly smack dab in the middle on Christ and saying, my life is for you, I live and breathe for you, and I trust you to help me to see clearly temptation so that I don't walk into it, but so I stand against it. You live that life. And you will live a life of freedom so extraordinary and so wonderful that it would blow the minds of you and all of your friends. And when God calls us to prayer, I think we have so often thought of prayer as this thing where we ask a bunch of stuff and he either says yes or he says no. And slowly but surely, I'm starting to realize that every circumstance given me, every tribulation and trial, every person and relationship, every moment in time has been given me as a Christ follower to bring sanctification to the name of God. To live in a manner worthy of the gospel, and to raise my hands to my Savior and say, this moment was for you. It was all for you. It's all for you. I love my wife because of you. I care for my children because of you. I take care of my friends and build them up because of you. I forgive because of you. I act because of you. I speak because of you. Have we so forgotten that we live for Christ, that we now walk around and every circumstance comes back to us? God, why? Why me? Why this? Why now? Please take it away. And God's going, it was an opportunity for you to rise above and to live in the Spirit of God by the power of Christ, because you are no longer slaves to sin, but you are slaves to righteousness. And so the Lord's Prayer begins this to become this beautiful place where I, a Christ follower, can run to my dad and can strengthen all that is in me so that I can live worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is my water fountain. It is my place to come and to be refreshed and renewed. It is my place to be prepared and made ready for the day. It is my place where I go, this is where I plug in. And I go, come on, drain me full. So when I go out there, my eyes are fixed on you. Prayer is the answer. It is the answer. Remember that quote I read right in the beginning when we started this series? That beautiful quote that said, you know, when people come and they come to prayer and they don't realize what a privilege it is to be in prayer, if they do not faint by the privilege of being in Christ, then they will not realize that the answer to prayer is prayer itself. Prayer is your place and mine as Christ followers to refocus our lives, to fix our eyes on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart, but so that we will live lives that are extraordinary and lives that bring great honor to His name. I can't begin to tell you how I hope and long for the day that I could look at Mosaic Church, that I could look at my life, and I could say to anyone out there, you come look at the way we live our lives. We breathe in and we breathe out for the sake of Christ every single day. And you know how we do it? Prayer. Prayer is our lifeline. Not the lifeline to God's supply for our stuff that we need. Our lifeline for God's supply for the person we need to be, to face whatever comes and to have peace and contentment in those circumstances. Do you remember Paul whispering in his letter to the Philippian church? I have learned to be content in all things. Whether rich or poor, well-fed or hungry, whether in prison or free, I have learned the secret of being content. And what is that secret? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is Paul's answer to contentment. And the Lord's Prayer is Jesus' answer to being able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so as you guys enter into that world out there this day, as you leave here tonight and you go back to your prayer and you get on your knees, pray and pray hard, pray all day, pray unceasingly. But remember this, that prayer is first and foremost, foundationally, the answer to everything you need. It is the place you run to go to be with your Savior and to remind yourself that your life is sold out for Him. And then, after that, you lay out for God all that you want. And that's what we want to do. That's where we want to go. So I pray now that you guys would walk out of here going to prayer with a fresh vision to focus your own hearts and lives onto what Christ desires for you. I know that's what I want to do so that I can live a life worthy of the gospel. And I can demonstrate to my Savior how much I love Him because of how much He loved me. Let's pray. God, we thank You so much for Your incredible love for us. We thank You that You have given us this beautiful gift of prayer by which we can come and we can focus our hearts and minds on You, and we can redirect our thinking, and we can fix our eyes on where it is you are directing us so that we can live our lives for the glorification of your name, by your provision and your strength, walking not into temptation, but walking right over it. So it is my prayer this night that you would not allow us to walk into temptation this week, but deliver us from the evil one so that we might live our lives in a manner that would bring sanctification to your name, honor to your name, that your will would be done in our lives and that your kingdom would come because of our lives. Prepare our hearts for the weeks to come as we delve into some of the problems with prayer, and help us to see where you take us from here. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.